Is it time for a podcast already?
Check 1-2, check 1-2, check 1-2, check 1-2.
I go to your seat, lady, cause this one's a screamer.
I didn't know that.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Garlic Jar Podcast Show. Oh my God, I feel like it's been forever. And really, it really hasn't been. I mean, we did have our last episode back in March, if everybody does remember. And just to recap, you know, we talked about in episode 74, the Book of Boba. Well, tonight, we have a real good show for you guys, as we're going to be exploring two massive topics, the Multiverse of Madness, which is the Doctor Strange movie, the second one, and we are going to be talking about the first three episodes of the Kenobi series on Disney+. But before we even jump into those topics, I have to tell you who we have here tonight. Of course, with me, our partners in crime, I got Jenna, and I got Zach. Guys, say hello.
Hello.
What's up, guys?
Welcome back, guys. It's been forever.
Yeah, no, I gotta thank you guys for letting me have a little break so I could pass my semester at school. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
I think we all needed the break, though. You know, I think going on social media saying, you know, we took a little bit of a hiatus so that we could get some projects done, focus on school. We needed that.
It wasn't planned.
We needed, especially since we went like that. If you guys remember that whole year where it was just constant. It was like every other week we were doing an episode. Then we were doing specials with Jamie and some of our special guests coming on. And Sean. I think we needed that in the worst way. We really needed to just tune down, get back into our swing of things, get our work done, finish on it. And now here we are. We're in the summer. The summer of good old moments.
We're back.
I would like to. Yep. So I hope that everybody's going to have a great summer, not just us. Obviously, I want to tell you guys, the viewers, the listeners here, our audience, I hope your summer is going as well as ours. And yeah, we are going to get started. The only thing I could tell you is, guys, over the past couple months, though, like, before we even jump into topics, like, pop culture just got, like, stir crazy. Like, so much has happened over weeks, over months.
Yeah, a little bit,
you know?
Like,
and you know what? We're going to touch base on some past moments that happened throughout those months. We're going to bring in some episodes because we definitely want to talk about it. Like, for example, me and Jenna, like, we were watching that trial. Zach was watching that trial, too, with Amber Heard, Johnny Depp, and everything like that. We definitely want to talk about that, the Beetlejuice movie that's going to be coming out. And, of course, I mean, there's a lot more that we're going to be talking about. I mean, Jen, can you think of anything else, like, any other big pop culture moments were like...
We got Stranger Things on deck, you know, season 4, just part 1 is live on Netflix already. Part 2 comes out on July 1st. It's a Friday, so I'm counting down the days for that. But, like, what makes me sad about waiting for Stranger Things is, like, you know, we're going to get these last two final episodes of season 4, and then we're probably not going to have Stranger Things for, like, another 2 years, which is a little sad, but...
It is. Because we were waiting a long time just for this season.
Yeah,
you
gotta remember, like, now that as things are, like, coming out now, like, these things were all shot during, like, COVID time. So, like, you know, you
right.
had starts and stops, and this one got COVID, that one got COVID, delays, and...
Yeah, it got crazy.
Yeah, it did. It did.
But I have to say, speaking of the Stranger Things, wow, my wife got glued to that series. We've been we rewatched seasons 1. We finished season 3 not too long ago. We started season 4. She loves it now. She loves the episodes, loves the series.
Yeah, I watched all, like, you know, part 1 of season 4 in, like, a whole day because I was just like, this is it.
Yep.
This is it. I needed to know what happened. And, like, I swear to Christ, if anything happens to Eddie or Steve, I'm going to be quite upset.
Well, hey, that's a future episode that we are going to have on deck.
Yeah.
So, yep. Zach, you got some watching to do, brother.
You do, bud.
Yep, I'm hoping to watch it this week.
Perfect.
Before Friday.
Get caught up.
All right. So,
also,
go ahead.
Quick little shout out. I just want to say fuck the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are currently losing right now. Just had to throw that in there.
Yeah, because we know that the NHL, this is the big game now. This is the Stanley Cup, right?
Yep.
So, it's going on right now as we're talking on the podcast.
Yep.
I don't know. I like them, so whatever.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind.
I don't have a problem with them. I like lots of hockey teams, so.
It just wasn't
The Stanley Cup is not meant to be won 3 years in a row.
It just wasn't sure the Seattle Kraken season this year.
No, it definitely wasn't. You know, first time up for the Kraken.
But don't worry, they'll unleash the Kraken. They will. Future seasons
they
ahead.
For
so.
Sure will. I have no doubt. Man, I remember when that got released, and I was like, you know, harassing you on the podcast about that.
You were stoked about that team coming out. Like, you, oh my God.
I just like hockey, you know what I mean? Like, the only team yeah. I can't stand is the Flyers, so everybody yeah. else I'm chill with.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to like Philadelphia sports teams, you know?
I agree.
Yeah, I have to agree with that, 100%.
Sorry, Zach.
It's fine. I've accepted it at this point.
Your damn fan base.
Yeah, damn... all of it.
All right, so listen, I don't want to milk up too much time here. So, like, we the first thing that we're going to talk about, obviously, is we're gonna jump back a little bit. That was released. What was that? In April? Right? Was it
yes.
April or May?
April.
It was April.
Yeah.
So we had Doctor Strange 2, the Multiverse of Madness, and just to recap that, if anybody. I mean, you should be all caught up right now. If you're not caught up with your MCU movies, shame on you.
Well,
but I mean, if you saw the last Spider-Man, well,
it just dropped on Disney Plus, so hit pause and go take a watch.
Right, but what I was going to get at though, if you didn't see the last Spider-Man film, you saw how very significant Doctor Strange was in that film,
correct.
Opening up the multiverse.
Correct.
So that was like the big start of things where we were saying, oh my God, it's starting.
Yeah.
Oh my God, here it is. It's coming.
And like, if you haven't been like watching WandaVision when it came out, like what have you been doing? So obviously watch that
yep.
too. Otherwise you're going to have no clue.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's a really good point to throw in. Like the WandaVision aspect, especially on her part of what's going on, the turmoils, the twists and turns of her, you know, trying to fight the Scarlet
Grief.
Witch and herself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to see that.
Agree.
But yeah, let's start with the Multiverse of Madness. So we're going to start. Jen, I would like you to start with this one because I know that you were kind of planning this one.
Yeah, so like was quite hyped up for this one, to be honest with you. And I feel like it lived up to my expectations. And I really enjoyed, because, you know, like there were news of like, reshoots and, you know, different aspects that they were trying to bring into the film. And I'm really glad that they went back and like made some of those changes because for those of you that don't know, some of the changes were made due to the popularity of the Doctor Strange What If episode, which I think it was up for like a bunch of Emmys or something. Like, am I wrong with that? I think What If got nominated for Emmys and stuff, so...
Yep, there were some nominations there.
Yeah, and so Doctor Strange's episode was, like, quite pivotal because you got to see, you know, a couple different versions of Doctor Strange. And there was another episode of What If, you know, that was quite popular with all the zombies and everything. So
yeah.
For me, when they announced the reshoots, everybody, you know, like, of course goes, oh, damn it. Like, what are, you know, like, does this movie suck already? And they're trying to change some things. But I honestly think that they made a good decision with the reshoots with this one because it pulled out some of those aspects from What If that we all thoroughly enjoyed when we saw, you know, the 20-minute animation.
Oh, it definitely did.
So.
And I mean... If you watch those What If episodes, like, I just want to recap on that because now if I could just piggyback on something, that episode alone out of that series, and I'm glad Disney Plus is going to keep releasing. I think they're signed on another season of What Ifs.
Yes, they did.
That episode, especially that what we're talking about with Doctor Strange and his What Ifs, that was really an emotional episode.
It was. And like, I feel like they kind of... brought some of that emotion into
the movie.
Yes, because spoilers, obviously, if you haven't seen the film, then like don't listen to us right now. Hit pause, come back later. But especially like, you know, like the film opens up and like Steven's going to Christine's wedding because as we all know, Steven got blipped in the
the snap.
In the snap. Avengers. So, you know, that's 5 years of his life gone. So, like, assumingly, Christine did not get snapped. And, like, what is she going to do? Like, sit and wait? Like, you got to pick yourself up and continue on your life. So she met somebody.
Right. Life goes on, you know?
Yep. So she met somebody. They're getting married. And, like, Steven's there. And, like, they're talking in the reception. And she's saying, like, oh, my husband's such, like, a big fan. Which, like, it kind of felt, like, a little bit awkward. Like, I know they're friends and everything, but, like, Steven still, like, 100%, like, loves her. And, like, it kind of just, like, pulled on my heartstrings a little bit there.
I like the theory, too, about the snap. Like, if you remember when Doctor Strange was, he was going through, you know, the time aspects of mm-hmm. seeing how the results could pan out.
Yes.
And he was saying how many were there, like, 14 million and some. Yeah. Like, I was always wondering, because going back when I first saw the Doctor Strange movie, that was, like, one of the first thoughts I had was, like, you know, I'm thinking about it. I'm sitting there. Like, instead of just seeing the result of what happened here with Thanos and the Infinity Stones, was he actually going back and seeing everything in the time lapses of what was happening to people?
So, I want
to... You know, him included, you know?
So, I want to piggyback off that, because obviously we're going to talk about some of the other aspects of the film, but... The Illuminati obviously get introduced, and, like, piggybacking off of Matt right there is, like, when he's looking through all of the different options and possibilities, the same thing happened in the Illuminati verse of mm-hmm. with Doctor Strange, but Doctor Strange ends up being killed, and he gives his cloak to, Reed Richards, which I half wonder if he saw that our Doctor Strange was going to show up in the universe and needed his cloak repaired. So that's why he saved his cloak and gave it to Reed.
That's a good point. That's a really good, interesting point.
So, and also, like, when John Krasinski showed up as Reed Richards, I nearly fell out of my chair.
Oh, yeah, right?
Because that's, like, perfect fan casting, and that's been, like, the fans' number one choice for Mr. Fantastic since Jesus, as far as I can remember.
I just don't think he's going to be the Mr. Fantastic. I think right there they just kind of introduced that, yes, there is a Fantastic Four on the way, and that is an alternative person in the universe, you know, the multiverse, that's... That type, that's him.
I don't know, though, because, like, he's been doing, like, directing stuff, and he's also doing a series on Amazon that I think is getting ready to wrap up. And, like, you know, like, him and his wife, Emily, have been doing the A Quiet Place movies.
Right,
so,
right.
So, like, essentially, and, like, the fans want her to be Sue Storm.
Sue Storm, yep.
So, essentially, if they could do another project together, like, I would see them getting on board for this, because actually Emily Blunt, I'm not sure if you guys know this, Emily Blunt was actually supposed to be Black Widow.
I think I read that.
She
I think
had
yeah.
the role, and then she was obligated to do something else. I don't remember what it was, but, like, she had already signed a contract, and, like, then it was going to be, like, filming controversy, like, The time didn't, like, match up by, like, when they needed to film. And then, so they ended up going with Scarlett Johansson.
And, like I said, I don't dare ever, you know, want to say that Scarlett Johansson was the worst pick for the Black Widow.
No,
I think
she's perfect.
She was perfect for that role, so I'm glad that they kept Scarlett Johansson mm-hmm. in. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I'm not gonna shun... Emily Blunt. I think I think that would have been an interesting turn if they did put her in that
role.
No,
but, like,
you know?
What I'm saying is, like, she had her Marvel shot once. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And, like, it got rained on. So, like, I feel like if she's offered a Marvel again, she's going to jump at it. Especially to be able to do another project with her husband and it also be Marvel.
And it's a power couple, too, in Hollywood. Like,
yes.
If you think about this right now, like, John Krasinski and Emily Blunt. I mean, hey, power couple, and it's a power couple also in the comics, Sue Storm and Reed Richards,
yes.
You know? They end up happily married and whatnot, you know?
Yeah, so I almost fell out of my chair when I saw him. I was quite pleased.
I did like the other characters introduced, and I mean, you had, what was it, Deadbolt?
Black Bolt.
Black Bolt, that was from Inhumans.
Yeah, did you watch that?
And then the what-if scenario of, you know, Peggy.
Oh, yeah, we got Captain Carter,
Captain Carter.
100% down to do more of, so, like...
Yeah, that would be pretty
get
cool.
On that.
Definitely.
We also got Professor X back, which was...
That was cool.
Cool.
That was cool.
Yeah, except we knew that was coming because of the trailer, so...
Yeah. Like, we kind of heard that, like, the voiceover, well, like, in the background.
The voice, and then you also saw his yellow wheelchair. So, like, for fans of, like, you know, the Marvel X-Men cartoon show, like, you know, like, when it was, like, ABC Family, like, Saturday morning cartoons?
Yeah.
It was from that series that you see him in his yellow wheelchair.
Yep, the yellow wheelchair and the brown suit.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So we got that back. Lots of cool special effects. I know that, like, I don't know if you guys picked up on this, but it made me curious. But you know the eye monster, what was it called? Gargantuous or something like that? Gargantua? The eye
Gargantua,
monster?
Gargantua, I think, right?
Yeah, the eye monster. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody picked up on this, but I watched it the other day when it came out to Disney+. I watched it again to prepare for this episode. But, that whole monster is a huge foreshadowing. And the first time I watched it, I didn't pick up on it, but the eye...
I know where you're going.
The
yep,
eye is
I know where
actually
you're going with
Elizabeth
this.
Olsen's eye.
Yeah!
Yeah, they scanned yep. her eye and made it into the monster to foreshadow that she is, in fact, going to be the villain in this film. So, which I thought was, like, a really cool dynamic for her to play, because, you know, we've seen, like, Vengeful, we've seen Team Player, we've seen Grief from her, and now we just get to see batshit crazy.
Yep.
So, which was nice. I thought she's an incredible actress, and I thought she, you know, she brings so many layers to the character.
She's definitely one of the characters, too. Like, I mean, I know we've said this before. Like, even if you go back to, like, the Infinity movies, like, she wasn't one to toy around with. Like, I mean, she could have easily single-handedly taken out Thanos.
Well, that's what... Who was and, it Okoye said? And she's like, where has yeah. she been the whole time?
Yeah. Like, I mean, this thing... I mean, not this thing, but, like, this hero... that we've seen. I mean, she, again, so powerful.
Yeah.
You know? And you can't, I just can't get that out of my mind, because every time I could go back to Endgame, you know, I think about that what-if scenario. Like, what if she was ready to freaking toast him,
yeah.
you know? Ripping off the armor like it was tinfoil, you know?
Yeah, yeah. She could have, too, if she was quicker about it. But she wanted to make it longer and more painful on him, so...
Yes.
Which is good, which I did love. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm not saying I didn't like it. I'm saying I liked it, but
you put me put me through the pain. Now I put you through the pain, you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think it's kind of funny, because like the multiverse of madness is kind of getting like mixed reviews, and I'm the only reason I'm saying that is because of what I've read recently in articles, you know,
I
like
think it's
'cause for example,
people are seeing it, you know, like now that it's out
yeah.
on Disney Plus, cuz people are still, you know, not going to the movies due to the COVIDs, but...
And they're saying, is this the worst movie in the MCU?
Absolutely
you know?
Not, it's not.
I don't think it was.
No.
Yeah, I would shut that down immediately.
So, are we just, like, saying, like, the... like, you know, like, our Marvel movies, or are we doing, like, across all Marvel?
Well, I think if we say all across the board, I would go Morbius on the Sony side. I heard, I mean, from what I got out of that,
so,
I mean, people are just saying junkyard that, you
it
know?
It was junk, but it was terrible, but there is one film that is even more terrible, and that would be the remake of the Fantastic Four.
Oh, okay,
everybody
yeah.
everybody forgets about, and that one's...
The remake, yep.
Yep, that one's quite terrible.
There's probably a reason why everybody forgets about
yes.
it.
We just pretend it never happened.
Yeah. Morbius was kind of awful, too. And I thought it was hilarious that they were kind of making fun of it. And then it went back into theaters because of all the memes that were, like, cycling around. I thought that was quite hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, I'm eventually going to watch it. I didn't see it. So I just want to put that
yeah,
out there.
I haven't seen
yeah.
it either.
I mean, eventually I will watch it.
Yeah, it's nothing to get excited about. Except
but
Matt Smith. I enjoy Matt Smith as an actor. So, like,
mm-hmm.
to me, like, I wasn't watching the worst. Well, it's pretty bad. But, like, Matt Smith, his parts on screen make it bearable, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, I feel like it wasn't a complete loss. But
so where do we think the multiverse goes now next? Like, I mean, so like we've seen this, we saw this movie. We know that, like, okay, the big part of it was Doctor Strange battling the Scarlet Witch, yeah. You know? And I mean, that's the core of the movie, is that these two, that's the conflict. That's, like, to me, like, I don't want to say that's the hero and the villain going with one another, but really, I mean, in her aspect, she was showing the villain side of the Scarlet Witch.
Yeah, she was. Eventually, but, like, you gotta remember, like, the motivation was, like, she was trying to get back to her kids, which, like, right. I get, you know what I mean? Like, I get that. But also, you can't go and steal somebody else's children.
That's right.
So, I thought it
was... Or even if that aspect, is it even real? You know, like, for, like, that's, I think that was the biggest thing that was, like, put on her, is that, like, Wanda, you know, come to your senses, like, this is not real. This is not,
yeah,
you know...
Yeah, was it, dreamwalking? Is that what they were calling it?
Yeah, dreamwalking, mm-hmm. You know? So, like, this was a life that you created, you dreamt of, in your reality. You know,
well,
like
she was going, like, you know, like cross universes. So, like, you know, she was right. Inhabiting the other Wanda's body, and like that's not cool.
Yeah, it's manipulation.
Yes.
You think.
And then, like, I don't know if everybody remembers my prediction when I said that her kids weren't gonna recognize her.
Yeah.
But boom, that shit happened. But,
yep.
Yeah, I wanna piggyback off of what you just said. As far as like where it's gonna go, Matt, I think. If they don't reveal, rumors are that they're going to reveal the new main villain soon.
Yes.
It's supposed to be a Thanos-like villain, but yep. If they don't do that, I can see them making a movie about one of the alternate universes Wanda's dealing with the consequences of what this Wanda, aka the Scarlet Witch, did.
Yeah, definitely. No, definitely. And that's been around on the internet now for days.
Yeah.
That, like, I mean, I've seen that on Facebook on multiple pages. Like, we got this covered, Marvel Studios fan page and everything like that. They are saying that, like, in the next couple days, we're going to see a reveal of what's coming next. And I do, and I'm still sticking to my guns. I still think that the next big daddy of villains is going to be Galactus. You know, I think that's the route we're cooking up. Especially if we're going to introduce a Fantastic Four in the future.
Yeah,
I could just see that one.
I'd
but,
love to see what's going to get announced, because, like, I don't know if... So, Thor Love and Thunder is coming out within the next couple weeks. I'm not sure if Hemsworth is completely done with Thor.
No.
I hope
he's not. He's not. He's not.
Because, like, I know that he said that he really wants to be in Deadpool 3, and then he wants to give Hugh Jackman a run for his money for, like... the longest, you know, because, like, Hugh played Wolverine forever.
Right. If I remember correctly, I saw a picture, and it had him quoted saying that he would love to come back and play and do more Marvel movies, but he's going to wait and see what the fans want.
Yeah, the fans want it. Especially, like, the reviews are pouring in for Love and Thunder already, and it's supposed to be fantastic.
Now, another route they could go with the villain, there's rumors that in one of the posts... end credit scenes of the new Wakanda movie that Dr. Doom is going to show up.
Yeah,
well,
that's
Fantastic Four.
Now, the funny thing about that is, and this is something that I kind of picked up in the movie.
There's supposed to be a reference somewhere, but
There is a reference, and it's Reed Richards using the teleportation device when he comes into the Illuminati meeting.
Yeah.
That is technology that was developed by Dr. Doom.
Okay.
So wherever Reed Richards acquired that, that is something that was the reference of Dr. Doom.
Okay.
His teleportation.
I get you.
And I think that was pretty good because, again, movies like this, they throw Easter eggs in, and this is exactly what fans are trying to pick up on.
Yes, yeah.
That was one that you had to read about weeks after. Like, initially, I thought to myself, and I'm like, huh. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, that looks a little different. I'm like, and sure enough, like, Googling it, you know, and it came up. I mean, that was the Easter egg, and that was the reference to a Doctor Doom. Now, could that be the next granddaddy villain? It would be. I would love to see Marvel... reprise and really rebuild this one and give us a better Doctor Doom, because I feel like the ones that we've already seen were dog crap. Like, I mean, I'm not going to acknowledge the Fantastic Four movie that we just said, because that one I just wish never existed. But even if we go back to the one that was, you know, with Grafford and what was his name, Michael Chiklis and Chris Evans, you know, and I'm trying to think of her name, Jessica Alba.
Jessica Alba, yep.
like, the Doctor Doom that was portrayed in that one, like, it just, I don't know. Like, it just, it was okay. It was okay. Like, I'm not going to say it was good. I'm not going to say it was great. It just, it's on an okay line.
I didn't mind those.
I did like Lawrence Fishburne as the Silver Surfer. I think his character was played better.
Yeah.
In that aspect, but yeah, no, I would like to see that. Let's bring Doctor Doom back in. Let's like, if they said that's going to be the next big villain, I'd be on board with it. But I do think it's going to be Galactus.
Okay.
So I'm already starting to see some signs.
You know? Yeah, I could see it being either one.
Especially,
I would be happy with any.
Especially if we're going to have Ant-Man going and revealing the next villain as who is it? Kang?
Kang, yep.
Kang
the Conqueror.
Yep.
Which
so
also
I think.
Seen in Loki.
Right. Yep. And that was good. That was a good series. Too.
It was. I like all the Disney Plus series.
Yep. Not a bad one out there yet. Mm-mm. So yeah, I think the multiverse is shaping up to something much bigger. I mean, it's got a lot of shoes to fill, especially since we just got done. Like, I mean, that's what I call it. The Infinity Saga is just, like, with our Avenger movies and stuff like that. I mean, how do you top it? Where do you go? I mean, I was happy with Spider-Man. I still have that as one of my top three films in that MCU, and I think how they opened up and they showed how the multiverse was working, and now with the Doctor Strange movie, how the multiverse was working, I think they're going to do good with this. I think it's going to really open up a big story. And
yeah,
I think we're going to get that big moment like we did in the Avengers, you know? A lot of people are dogging on it because they're saying, well, how are they going to top this? How are they going to top this? You know, of course, they're saying we have no Chris Evans left as Captain America. We have no Robert Downey Jr. left as Iron Man. I think we're going to get alternatives. I think we're going to find that somehow these characters do come back, but in different multiverse.
Well, I also don't think that they're going to keep bringing back the same stories that we've seen. I think mm-hmm. we're going to, like, you know, it's going to be passing the torch to the new Avengers, and, you know, like, everybody's just going to have to deal.
Yep.
New stories.
Earth's mightiest heroes are growing. They keep growing more and more.
Yes.
So. Okay, so I think, does anybody else have anything else to add to the Doctor Strange? Like I said, I just want to put out there as my final note, if you're reading reviews and you see, like, people saying that this is the worst movie of the MCU, definitely trash that. It's not. It's definitely worth watching. And right now, like Jen was saying, it's absolutely available there on Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. Yep. So you could see it.
And Cumberbatch is ready to come back for more, so.
Yep. I think he stone imprints that role perfectly.
Yeah, he's great.
You know?
I think he's a great actor.
Yep, he is. He's like, it's almost like the Robert Downey Jr. aspect. Like, you can't picture another Iron Man because of how well it was portrayed by Robert Downey Jr.
No,
that's how I feel
actually,
about the Doctor Strange aspect.
There's one more thing I want to say. I was terrified that Tom Cruise was going to show up as Iron Man in the alternate Illuminati universe, and I'm so thankful that it did not happen.
Yeah, I mean, I was open to it. But I did like the fact that, listen, we kept Stark preserved. Like, his legacy is what it is.
Can live another day.
Yep.
I think if anybody's gonna take over his legacy, it's gonna be his daughter.
Yeah, and I think that
cool
should be.
Well,
yep, I think it should be.
Ironheart's coming, so.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's not his kid, but that's all right. That's all right. We can pass
Well,
the torch.
Close enough.
Yeah.
And she could have all the cheeseburgers she wants.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Deal.
So, okay. So I think we'll end it right there with our Multiverse of Madness. Mm-hmm. So check it out. Right now we are coming down to the halfway mark of our episode. So Jen, do you want to take us into to the break?
Yeah. So if you want to go grab a snack, grab a drink, we'll be right back to talk about the Kenobi series. All right, everybody, welcome back. I hope you grabbed your snacks and your drinks and use the bathroom because we are going to get into, in my opinion, probably one of the best Star Wars series that I've ever seen ever. And Kenobi has launched on Disney Plus, and today we are going to talk about episodes 1, 2, and 3.
Oh yeah, I agree. I mean, this is, You know, this lived up to exactly what I wanted. And same. real quick, because I'm sure you've seen the social media posts and you read the stuff that people go back and forth about. You know, I get it. Star Wars is a massive pop culture following of topics. You know, I get it. There is a diehard topic. It's a diehard fan base, and it's probably one of those top 10 topics of pop culture of all time. But the fans have got to be a little bit more lenient, and you got to stop being critical. And what I mean by that is, from what I've been reading, what I've been following, it's like, it's a shame that they have so much to shit on, you know? Like, and for me, I thought this was well written. I thought it was I mean, could it have been better? I'm sure it could be, but what? I was absolutely satisfied.
I think the first three episodes could have been written a little better.
No,
but
okay.
The last three were fine.
See, like, that's, I think you gotta say, like, give yourself like a little warm up there. So I was cool with it because I was like,
I'm not saying that the first three were bad.
Yeah.
But I'm also not saying that they were great. They were good. They weren't great. They were good.
I just think when a lot of these fans come out and they throw these ideas into it and they're saying, well, I'm mad because this didn't happen, and I'm mad because this didn't happen.
Yeah, no, I agree with what you're saying. The only reason the fans trash the series is because it's not what their vision of a Kenobi series would be. And the only two people that truly understand Star Wars are George Lucas and Dave Filoni.
Yep, and I'm sorry. This is...
And that's just the truth.
No, it is the truth. And this is why I'm going to say this. Like, you guys could get mad at me. I mean, hey, send me some emails and send me some messages of your hate, you know? I mean, listen, I'll be your Palpatine over here. Your hate just builds me stronger. But, like, you guys are so, the Star Wars fan base, you could be so ignorant at times of what you want. Listen, you didn't write it. I mean, it was written for what it was. And that's how I always feel. Like, a lot of these fans, they feel like they're the ones that should be writing the episodes. And this is what they want.
Honestly, I would love to see the fans try and write an entire Star Wars episode.
It would be, or movie. It would be another Skywalker series. It'd be another Skywalker of movies. You know,
exactly my point.
You know, but I'm not gonna go there.
We would get version 2.0 of the sequels.
Yeah.
See, I liked the prequels, so I was quite happy with how
I love the prequels.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, I could happily say that episodes 1 through 6. Love them, but like, I'm not gonna, and I will say that, you know, hey, episodes 7 through 9, I mean, they had good parts, but I mean, I just think it could have been written better. I just think it was very repetitive and too expected, you know?
They were shit.
Yeah, like, I mean, again, there's a lot of things that I could pick out and say, these were the moments that I liked, but at the end of the day, I was a little disappointed in those movies, you know?
A little?
Well, I'm trying to be nice here. So.
A little?
Yeah, little is, it's like, I'm like teetering on the 49-50%, you know? Okay, because I already pissed off some of the Star Wars fans by calling them ignorant, so I don't want to, you know, I don't want to put too much on the burn.
Just full send it at that point.
Yeah. All right.
Anyways.
But yeah, so let's talk Kenobi. So see, those, the season's out, it's already wrapped up. We're talking episodes 1 through 3, and we're going to come back with our next episode talking about the other three episodes. So where do we start with the episode 1 through 3?
The beginning.
Let's go to the beginning. Let's start.
So I was probably just like rolling on like the nostalgia high. But I think I saw, and I don't know if you guys saw this, but when he's riding home, I'm going to say, on the transport.
I know where you're going with this, Jen, and you can continue to say it after I say this, but I can confirm it was not.
Go ahead. I'm intrigued. I like this.
But go ahead.
I thought, so there was a dude that was, like, I'm going to say, like, drinking a water bottle. These, like, you know, like, the Star Wars version of a water bottle on, like, the transport. And it looked like it was Tamara Morrison, like Boba Fett.
Okay.
It could have been, I think it might have been the actor, but it wasn't Boba.
Okay.
I don't think it was.
I have to go back to it because I'm not gonna lie. I probably definitely missed this.
See, like, I didn't watch like the Clone Wars, and like I watched like the original season of the Clone Wars, but like I haven't kept up with the cartoon stuff. So
okay.
Like what Zach's saying, like, I don't know, it could be whoever, because obviously all the clones, you know. But yeah, I thought it was Tamar Morrison, and I was like, is that Boba Fett? Because, you know, he's got his friends on Tatooine.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it was Boba.
Because this would have been before the Sarlacc pit, right? Yeah. Way before that.
It would be, yeah, because it's 5 minutes after, not 5 minutes, 5 years or 10 years after Revenge of the Sith. I think it's ten, right?
By the way, the popo is not coming for me right now, if anybody could hear that in the background.
Oh. But you sure about that?
Nope. But anyway, sorry about that. Go ahead.
I don't know if you guys did. Matt, you might have picked up on this, but right at the start in the flashbacks of episode one, like they were foreshadowing one of the main villains in the entire series. You know where I'm going with this?
I kind of know what you're talking about.
With the younglings?
With the younglings, yep.
Yeah, it was Reva.
Reva.
The first one that comes into picture was Reva.
Yeah, yep. But I didn't pick up that was her.
Yeah, initially I didn't pick up on that.
Okay. Oh, I did.
Yep. And I just want to piggyback on that. I'm actually glad they did go back to those moments. Like, we did see those flashbacks, because that was Order 66 was so, like, I mean, we could talk about what they could have put in movies and what they missed. You know, even the fan, again, here we talk about the fan base, how they demanded and they wanted such and such in a movie. Like, I'll say, for example, like, they wanted Ahsoka, you know? And now we learn to live and love the character. Now we're getting a series. Ahsoka was introduced in the Boba Fett.
Greatest Jedi of all time.
False. In the Mandalorian, yep.
But, well, you're only saying false, Jen, because you don't know her whole story.
That doesn't matter. Qui-Gon Jinn has my heart forever.
No.
I agree. No. He is my space Jesus.
Exactly. He's the best Jedi to ever live, and nothing will ever change my mind. Listen, Liam Neeson, that's all you freaking need.
Not a chance.
Yes.
But,
you know, I want a what if. I want a what if series.
No, we're getting
on Star Wars.
The Jedi, so.
Yeah, but I want a what if series if Qui-Gon killed Darth Maul.
Yo, if Taika Waititi could write that, I'd be all for that.
Yeah.
I love that.
But anyway, that's again just another thought, because we're boasting about our space Jesus over here. But anyway, sure. Zach, keep going.
So during Order 66, which, by the way, they could give us an entire series about what happened during Order 66, and I would be 100% fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
I would
what
not.
We got in the Kenobi series, I would be
pissed off the whole time.
I would be too.
Well,
I think
that's
because
you hate Anakin. I would love it.
I hate Anakin.
Yeah, but I agree with her. I mean, see, I'm on the same side with her. I like the hate for Anakin, like, in that aspect, absolutely, like the destroyer of the Jedi, you know.
Yeah, but if you think about it, it is during that time, it is also one of the most underdeveloped times in the timeline of Star Wars.
Yeah,
so it needs to be developed more, which is what we're getting from Kenobi. But anyway, that's a whole other topic. But as the camera widens from inside the temple, did you guys pick up on that? Hearing Palpatine's voice echo through, you know what that was being played through? That was being played through the speakers of the temple.
Right. I think that was the intercom messages. Well, not the intercom messages, but the messages being relayed from when he set the order out.
Yeah.
And when they were coming up in the hologram.
Yeah. And the reason why he kept repeatedly saying it on speaker was to prevent any clone in the temple from disobeying that order.
Yeah.
Because we've seen in the past where you say it once to any, if a clone is strong enough, he can resist it.
Right.
And he wanted to avoid that in the temple.
Yep.
Yeah. He didn't want to risk it.
No, that's a good point. Very good point.
Yeah.
Yep. But here's my thing with episode one. I go back and I hear what Jen's saying about, like, that nostalgic feel to it.
Yeah, I was just on a nostalgia high, like, I think, for, like, the first... Well, definitely the first two episodes, because they dropped it once.
Right. Like, to me, like, that's, like, it's like, brooming me into, it's pushing me into the New Hope, you know? And at least that was my feeling. Like when I saw those first two, so I'm going to piggyback with Jen. I'm on agreements with her right now. That, I mean, if that even is a word, agreements. Yeah. I don't know. Agreement. I'm in agreement with what she's saying. That nostalgic high. I think they broomed it real well. They pushed it to start pushing and moving forward of the New Hope aspect, you know, especially since now we know that him being on Tatooine, why would he be there? Well, because of Luke. He's watching over that, you know? I mean, even though that it wasn't immediately shown to us the first 10 seconds or 20 seconds of the damn show, we know why Obi-Wan is in Tatooine, you know?
Yeah, because, well, you know, we have the bigger picture to look at.
Right, and that's all I kept on thinking about was A New Hope. Like, this is him living out those years as, you know, an extinct Jedi, you know?
Yeah, I also thought it was, like, wild that this whole season was, like, I shouldn't say whole season, but, like, I honestly didn't know that Leia was going to be such a huge part of this
Loved it,
chapter.
I kind of had the feeling because, again, piggybacking off of what I said about Order 66, how she knew Ben in A New Hope from mm-hmm. Revenge of the Sith to A New Hope was always a dark area of the timeline.
So here's the other thing. I never so once I figured they ever thought that Leia naming her son Ben had anything to do with Obi-Wan. Mm-hmm. Never once. Yeah. Not once did that thought come across my mind.
Now you know why.
Now yeah. we know why.
Yep.
So I'm not even going to sugarcoat that. I was just like, oh, Ben, that's a cool name. Yeah, let's go with that.
No, but I want to say something because that is a very, very good point that, like, you pick up on how important Leia is introduced and going through this series. To me, that is just the repetitive sequence of setting down another Queen Amidalia, a young, very naive, very, and, you know, in power leader of her people. Like, she's showing that at such a young age.
Yeah, well, she's like, got good, you know, parents to take care of her, especially, like, Bail Organa.
Oh, Senator, yeah, bullshit, exactly. Like, Senator Organa is all about keeping the peace among people, you know, in the galaxy here, you know?
Worked out real well for Alderaan.
Well, right. And well, like, it was a peaceful place. They had no weapons. They didn't believe in that because they did not want to deter, nor did they want to... They didn't want to instigate a conflict with the Empire.
I also don't know if you guys notice this because you're dudes and that's probably like the last thing on your mind, but Leia's outfits and her hairstyles and like the way her mother in the film wears her hair are all like they took her looks from, you know, the originals that we've seen before and put them into this series. I don't know if you guys have noticed that.
Oh, yeah.
Her outfits and her hair.
Like, I thought, like, there was one moment where her outfit and her hair, it reminded me of the end of A New Hope at the ceremony of, you know, rewarding Han Solo and Luke Skywalker of their heroism, you know?
Yep, and, like, her mother's braids all the time. I was like, nice. I was like...
But if you also really think about that, go back to Padme, though. Padme had the same hairstyles, too. Like, I can remember going back to Attack of the Clones, where she had similar hairdo. She had similar hairdo in Revenge of the Sith there at the end, where she was on the ship. She had the braids, you know?
Yes. Well, that is probably, like, the Naboo style, but I think Leia is picking up, like, the Alderaan style.
Yeah.
In this series, because of, you know, like, her mother in the film. But I just thought that was a nice, like, throwback for... us ladies who like to copy the hairstyles.
And you know what? I'm going to give you that. You know, that's styling and profiling right there.
It is. That is.
I like that. That is a cool thing to pick up on.
Yeah, like I have a Hoth Leia cosplay that I could do because my hair is long enough that I could, you know, swoop my hair up into those braids.
Well, I'm currently growing my hair long. Hopefully I could get to the Qui-Gon stage.
All right.
But that's another story.
Tell Lauren.
she told me to keep growing.
Okay. Did you show her the picture of Qui-Gon?
No.
Okay. Nice.
To be determined. All right. But, that episode one is definitely nostalgic high. The thing that kills me, though, that Ben, Obi-Wan, is losing his way. And I think we kind of... I don't know. I'd actually say it'd be 50-50. I think some people, and that was, and again, I bring that up because that was another thing people were shaming on in the comments on social media. Why is he like this?
What?
Well,
he means
not
active. He's being disconnected
right.
from the Force. Yeah,
you know, like
what
he lost
expect?
His.
They're being hunted. He's in hiding.
Right, he can't reveal himself,
exactly.
and I think he knows the reality that, like, if I gave myself up to know that here I am a walking Jedi on Tatooine, he's going to blow his cover,
yeah.
and he's going to jeopardize the aspect of Luke being found.
Exactly.
You know. And I think that's what he's doing here, is that the way that he had to be was because this is all in the end of the protection of the kid.
Yes.
Protection of Luke.
Exactly. Yep. So, like, you know, you got to make some sacrifices to protect, you know, the promises that you've made to your friends.
Right. Like, I mean, it's almost like you're taking an oath. I mean, you know, let's go back to episode one. Obi-Wan gave Qui-Gon his word, and the oath was that he will train the boy. He will train
Anakin
to be a Jedi.
That up.
Well, I feel like this is another oath that Obi-Wan is taking to his master, is that he still believes that there is balance in the Force, and that he knows that in the future, Luke will be trained. You know? It just will not be now. I can't reveal that. Hmm. So I think there's a reference there. I think there's similarity where we could connect episode one to, you know, Ben waiting for Luke to be older. Obviously, the New Hope. That's where I get that nostalgic high of what's going on there.
Right.
Training the boy. You know?
Yes.
Yep.
Anything else? All right, so let's keep going. So episode 1, 2, 3, I like that. You know, we get that great introduction of Princess Leia. You know, she's a great role there. Love the wittiness of her too, you know. It's cool.
Yes.
Yeah, so did you guys notice the similarity of the Inquisitor ship and Vader's castle?
Nope.
Yes.
Okay, so the spires on the ship reflect the spires on Vader's castle.
Okay.
Like
as it comes to the top.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so like on the top of Vader's castle with the two spikes, they reflect onto the Inquisitor ship on the front.
Well, even the Inquisitor's holding facility,
yeah.
That even has that same... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you guys noticed this, but did you notice that Aunt Beru's in the same outfit that she wears in A New Hope?
Yeah.
I didn't. I'll be honest.
Yeah, she's in the same outfit.
Oh, well, hey, I guess, hey, classics never die, you know? Keep wearing them until you got them, you know?
I agree. And, I don't know. I loved how sassy Leia was being towards her cousin. I want more of that. She was putting that kid in his place.
Well, he was being a little D-bag.
Yeah.
He was being a dick, yeah. And I'm all for her putting him in his place.
Yeah.
I wanted more of that, to be honest.
Actually, no. He wasn't being a D-bag. He was being a little bastard.
He was being a dick. He was being a dick.
You know? So you got to put those people in place. And you know who's that person? Leia.
Knock him down a couple pegs.
Yep.
Yep.
Get knocked down, but you got to get up again.
Yes.
A little Chumbawamba. Okay.
Yeah, so episode one ends with him digging up the lightsabers.
Yep.
His lightsaber and Anakin's.
Correct. Yeah.
There's also, Matt, did you pick up on the small detail about his lightsaber at the end?
Obi-Wan's or Anakin's?
Yeah, Obi-Wan's. Yeah. Obi-Wan's.
Well, I mean, obviously, I mean, it's not the one that he had.
It is.
No, no.
It's the same one.
No, I mean, like, so, like, if I go back to, like, it's not like, what am I trying to say here? It's the one that he obviously left off with, you know?
Yeah, it's the same one from episode 3.
Yeah, same exact
but
one.
But did you notice, and you can go back and rewatch it, did you notice how when he opens it in the box that it's all dusty?
Yes.
Then when it swaps to him leaving the planet and like it's on his like belt, do you notice how it's shiny?
Well, I didn't know.
Box. Like,
yeah, he cleaned it before leaving the planet.
And
I'm just saying, that's something that most people didn't notice.
Oh,
was that he actually cleaned the lightsaber.
I don't know, before you, you know, use a deadly weapon, don't you think it should be functioning properly there?
I mean, yeah, but I don't know, I just thought it was a neat little detail.
Before I go and fuck shit up, I gotta clean this.
Let's make sure it's working properly so I don't, like, you know, like, reverse, you know, come out the other side and I get sliced in half. Yeah, it's probably a good idea to check and get
I'm
all
just
the
saying
sand
most people
and the dust
didn't,
out of there.
Yeah, like, think about this. Like, you know, you're a hunter and you have a rifle.
They didn't realize it, so.
You have a hunter and a rifle, and he's got dust bunnies and dust cakes all over his weapon. You think he's going to go out to the woods with that? Dust that shit off, Obi-Wan.
I point out one small detail and y'all attack.
Sorry,
you know,
I'm sorry.
I need another drink.
I'm sorry.
Obviously, it's a good idea.
Yeah. I like Jenna's reaction. No, he's got to clean that before he fucks shit up.
You take episode two. Episode two is all you guys.
Go ahead, Jen.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm gonna get back. I'm gonna continue watching. I'm gonna watch the hockey game while you two talk about episode two.
Listen, it's funny. It's all fun. A clean weapon is a good weapon. Keep going.
Whatever you say, man. Go ahead. Start with episode two. I wrote the notes down.
And we thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I'm not even reading the notes. Oh, God. Sorry. I read them yesterday, but I wasn't reading them now.
Well, we know the second episode opens in Dayu, right?
Dayu, yes.
I'm sorry. I'm so bad with pronunciations, but yeah, it's a new planet to Star Wars. I don't think it was ever introduced in any movies, so this definitely is a new one.
No, yep. Some people were also saying that it was Obadiah. It is not Obadiah.
Yeah.
What? Obadiah.
Obadiah was the home planet of the Pikes. Who show up in Clone Wars, which you wouldn't know because you haven't watched Clone Wars.
So yeah, that's a cart. Yeah, that's the cartoon reference, definitely right there.
I was going to say, I'm like, like Obadiah Stane from Iron Man is my favorite villain.
Okay. No, not him.
Oh, bloody.
This episode, Temuera Morrison actually shows up in this episode.
In two?
Yeah.
And he plays... Yeah.
Oh, wait, no.
He played the clone trooper.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, he was the...
He was the homeless clone trooper.
The homeless... Well, and that... And, you know, that right there, like, that was a... That was actually... Go ahead, Zach. I know where you're going to go with this. I have two
takes on that, and I love them both.
Yeah, go ahead.
So there's two sides to that story. The first side is the reason Obi-Wan is, like, in shock of that is because, A, it's a 501st clone trooper, which he would have known it was Anakin's by the hologram. So he obviously knows that they were in the temple. The second reason is he has his helmet off, and obviously... The first thing that Obi-Wan's going to think of is Cody.
Hmm.
Okay.
So he sees Cody's face, because, you know, he has the same face as every clone. So he sees Cody's face before anything else. And the second reason that I love that take is we finally get a little piece of what life was like after the war for the clones. Because we don't really get that. The only way we get that is if you watch Bad Batch. And that's really not... I mean, that's focused around the Bad Batch. It's not around every clone, so.
Definitely.
Those are my reasons for liking it, but you can go ahead, Matt.
No, I was just going to say, I felt like a reality sense there, where it was like, you know, these clones are out of operation. They're no longer being used. Now it's stormtroopers of the Empire. So,
because, like, we saw in Bad Batch that Kamino got...
Yep.
Destroyed.
Kamino got destroyed. So, like, there's nothing left of clone troopers. Now, like, it does. Like, there's that heavy reference of reality of where, you know, some, even like how some veterans struggle in real life, you kind of feel like that, like, this is a veteran sense where some veterans do struggle in real life, where now something of that homeless aspect comes up, you know, they're, you know, to me, that was the reality sense.
And my theory is that clone recognized Kenobi, but didn't say anything.
It's a good possibility. I mean, there was a good connection there between both him and, you know, Kenobi.
Yep.
So, and yeah, he's handing out the helmet asking for a warm meal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was a good pickup. And another thing about that, too, is, like, I know some people were... That was another big thing. People were debating, was that really the 501 clone trooper group that was shown? Yes, it was.
I will say this right now. Anybody that does not think that that was an actual 501st clone trooper, I'm going to tell you right now to stop living your life in Star Wars Legends. Get your head out of Star Wars Legends because it is not canon.
Yep. Yeah, it was definitely 501 portrayed. Like, you can't convince me otherwise. You could throw any other troop out there and tell me it was this. No, I'm still going to stick to 501. You know? So, yeah. I don't care if it's a tint of color, the change on the helmets and the patterns. No,
it was the 501st clone trooper, yeah. End of story.
Yep. So, moving on.
Is it blue? Is that the blue one I play? When we play Battlefront?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep, when we do Battlefront. Yes. Yep.
Yes.
I always stick to the 501.
Yes.
I like the green one.
So, the next one that I want to say, Jen actually didn't know this. I told her after I found out. And she was like, she was amazed when I told her. The young spice dealer is actually played by Ewan's daughter.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was wild.
Yep, that was pretty good.
Family affair.
Yep.
Love which makes one of her lines. I think, didn't she say something along the lines of, like, I was somebody's daughter once?
Yes. Yep.
That was so cool. I liked that.
Yeah, those little things. Like, that was pretty cool. Good reveal.
Yeah.
Green.
So after he encounters the spice dealer, obviously he's on the hunt because he's obviously searching for Leia.
Yeah. Yep. I just, that whole scene, there's another small detail that I wish they did with Maul. Did you notice that he cut his hand during that fight, Matt, on the Zabereth? The same species as Maul?
No, I didn't. So no, I didn't pick up on it. No.
So if you go back and watch that fight scene, right when he's fist fighting them in the hallway, you could see his hand bleed.
Right.
And it's because he cut his hand on one of his horns.
Okay.
But
obviously, just different portrayal in this.
Yeah. Just small detail. I wish they kind of implemented with Maul, but beggars aren't choosers. Can't be choosers.
I think some people were expecting a Maul appearance.
Oh, I was kind of hoping for it, like, you know, some.
I
like,
was
weird,
too, because he was around, yeah. But at the same time, he would be on what planet did they travel to in Rebels, Matt?
Oh God,
I can't. The Sith homeworld, Malachor, I think is what it was. I think it was Malachor.
Might be
that's
right.
Where
that
he would be.
Familiar.
Yeah, that's where he would be during this time.
Yeah, that does sound familiar.
I love how when he gets cornered in the room, he casually just takes out the jar of spice and just throws it on the ground and gets his kidnappers high.
Oh, yeah, smart.
Hey, you gotta do what you gotta do.
I love that. I
use
love
what's
that.
Around you, my dude.
That was actually the first time in Star Wars we've seen the effects of spice.
Yeah, that's true. Yep, that's true.
So.
Yep.
But yeah. Did you notice also, Jen, you might have picked up on this, mm-hmm. but did you notice when he leaned forward to talk to Leia that he leaned in the same pose as Leia did in A New Hope?
Oh, no, I didn't, but that's cute. That's a good throwback.
Yeah, I don't know if Matt picked up on that or not.
Yeah, no. I'm sorry.
Did you pick up on that, Matt?
Repeat that again, please.
So, did you notice when, after Obi-Wan gets Leia into the room?
Yeah.
Did you notice when he leans forward, he used the same exact pose that Leia did in A New Hope, in the hologram?
I didn't notice it, no.
I did not notice that.
Yeah, it was, if you put them side by side, it's the same pose.
That's a pretty good one, pick out.
He disses. Oh, wait, no, we can't talk about that. Never mind. Nope. I didn't say it.
I don't even know what you said, so.
Matt can finish off the rest of episode 2.
Well, yeah, because
or Jen can.
Well, no, because, I mean, the next part, obviously, is going towards the fight and the chase scene, so Leia tries to jump.
Yeah, I had, like, a heart attack, like, throughout that whole. I was a little nervous.
So, like, I mean, that's, like, the pivotal moment, because, like, I mean, you know, here's, you know, Leia, her thoughts are, like, you aren't who you are. I'm getting away from you because you're only going to cause more trouble.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, and I get it from Obi-Wan's standpoint that he's trying not to expose himself, you know? So he uses that same exact, so yeah, he's using that same aspect where, you know, if we go back, we're talking about Tatooine, why am I going to expose myself here and reveal identity? He doesn't want to reveal it there as if he's trying to find Leia. Then that's only going to catch more attention. But yeah, they're going through that scene. Leia's trying to jump to a roof, misses, begins to fall, and then Ben catches her using the Force. And that was one thing that Leia asked about that. Like, if you really are a Jedi, you know, use the Force. Like, show me. Like, you know, she even said that to him, you know? Well, that was the moment where she knew he was a Jedi. Like, he is who he is.
Yep.
So that was pretty cool. And I think after that now, Reva is telling Obi-Wan, right?
Yeah.
That Anakin Skywalker is alive.
Yeah, and that shit was like...
Like, damn. Yeah. What a ball drop, you know?
And then, like, he's, like, searching through the Force and, like, just, like, the lighting on his face and everything. I thought that was quite epic.
Yep.
I love how, also, two quick things. I love how Reva's lightsaber glow reflects where she's coming from. And I also like how Reva can sense Obi-Wan's thoughts, revealing that Obi-Wan is starting to reconnect with the Force.
That is interesting. You know, that's why one thing I have to give credit to for Reva is that, you know, she's not as weak as she seems. I think she could have definitely been more powerful, but to read his thoughts and to understand, like, there was a connection there, a Force connection that they were having, like, they were having that conversation. They knew what they were thinking, you know?
She was a character developed pretty well for a time of 6 episodes.
Yep. I liked her character. I loved her character. And again, that was another big controversy that people just hated. They hated her character.
I didn't like her in the beginning. No, like, the first couple episodes, I was like, ugh.
No, they were criticizing. Like, they were really bashing on...
She was getting a lot of hate, and it's like, listen, guys, you gotta realize, you gotta separate...
Right.
It's a show.
I didn't like her. I didn't like her in episode 1, but that changed when I saw episode 2. And it was one small... It was one small detail that very little people picked up on, and some people forget. During that scene when she's talking to Obi-Wan, she says... word for word, that Anakin Skywalker is alive.
Mm-hmm.
How many people off the top of your head can you name that know Vader is Anakin Skywalker?
Yeah.
Without seeing this episode.
Right.
Very little.
Right.
So that means she knows that Vader is Anakin. So I knew she wasn't going to be...
Well, of that moment...
an Inquisitor for long.
But that also, too, revealed that we knew that she was a youngling in that group, you know, to know. Like, I mean, she saw Anakin do what she did.
Exactly.
You know? So, like, that was, like...
together until she had the talk with Obi-Wan later in the season.
Yeah, no. As soon as she said Anakin Skywalker, I knew she wasn't going to be the main villain.
Well, she...
She wasn't going to be the main villain either way, but she wasn't going to be the secondary main villain.
Yep,
is the best way I can put it.
But I mean, we do know that he was definitely crowned that name, Lord Vader, Darth Vader, in Revenge of the Sith. So I mean, even going into the temple, like if the troops were backing him and they were going through Order 66, I'm sure she would have probably heard that they weren't calling him Anakin. They were probably calling him Lord Vader. You know?
Yep.
What's our next attack? You know?
Yeah, and we see later on when she does have that flashback, this is getting a little ahead, but he does have clones behind him.
Yes, he does. He does.
So.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
So, the episode ends with... Yeah, he is. Episode ends with him in the Bacta tank, obviously healing from his wounds, and we see him kind of get put together.
You know, little bitch.
And we see that he now has his Sith red eyes fully out, which I loved.
Yeah, it kind of, you know, I when that moment came on, I was like, wow, this is awesome. But then I kind of made fun of it where it was like, man, I feel like it's that scene from Child's Play 2 when they're putting the Chucky doll together where they're plugging his arms in his legs.
I know there's probably some people, more than a few people out there on TikTok. I found and came across a TikTok of that specific scene, but it was in reverse.
Yeah.
And I sent it to both of you. It was him getting his suit taken off, and I wish we got that instead of it being put on.
Yeah.
Because it was just better.
Yeah, no, I definitely think. I mean, it was definitely a lot better than the movie. You know, because I think at that point, I mean, I don't want to say it was quick and brief, but I mean, just to get the character introduced into the movie, I think that's what they were trying to, you know? This was pretty good because, I mean, we've seen the attachments. Like, we do know that he lost his legs there from the lava burn. You know, the arms and everything like that. Like, to me, the big thing that came up to me was that he was more machine than man, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what we saw when he was being put together.
Yeah, because they used a lot more pointy insert points than years past.
Yep.
So
I think that's another reference, though, too. I mean, you go down the nostalgic train here. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one thing I picked up. Like, when I did watch that scene, I was like, my God, Obi-Wan was right when he told Luke, your father is more a machine than he was, and he is a man now, you know? And that is absolutely what we just saw, as he was getting put together like a fucking Lego minifig, you know? But, yeah. Plug those legs in, plug the arms in. Hey, there he is. Lord Vader's ready to roll. Again, another good reference of, you know, listen, before you go and fuck your shit up, make sure you're cleaning yourself off and you get your weapons ready.
Boy, I tell you.
Sorry.
Point out one small detail. You know, that's fine. I will remember this day.
This was the day.
I will remember this. I will remember this.
Okay. Keep going.
Episode 3. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, no, I mean, we're introducing now that, so Obi-Wan and Vader, I mean, the suit's on, Vader's ready to roll. Now Reva is still hunting Kenobi, but she tells her that she succeeded, you know, telling this to the Grand Inquisitor. Obviously, the conflict is there. You know, because the Grand Inquisitor is pretty much threatening her now, saying that, you know, if you're saying is, you know, false, or if you
No. Oh, so Vader allows Reva to hunt for Kenobi.
Yeah.
But Vader tells her that she will be the Grand Inquisitor if she succeeds, but she dies if she fails.
Right. But I think
it's not the Grand Inquisitor telling her that, because she stabbed the Grand Inquisitor.
Well, right. But I'm saying, if we go previously to those episodes where he was... I mean, he had the role. I mean, he was saying it in the beginning where he's like, you know, no, you will not take front. You will not lead this. It was pretty much backing Reva, you know, behind. So, I mean, I still think that even at that point that you're saying about Vader, you know, saying that, listen, if you succeed, you know, you'll be the Grand Inquisitor. If you fail, you're going to die, you know. I think, obviously, we've gotten that from the Grand Inquisitor before even Vader told us that, you know. Like, she will not lead this operation. What you will do is you'll follow my lead. But she obviously took her anger out to resolve that. But do you really think that that was her aspect of being her Sith version, or was that her Jedi instinct? That she was...
I think it was both.
You know, I think she was doing that for good of it. You know, I think she's still...
I think it was both.
I think her intent was always good, but she had to mold herself to be, obviously, the aggressor, you know?
Yep.
I don't know. That's just my take on that, but... But yeah, anyway, so after that moment, Kenobi and Leia, they're arriving on a new planet. Hey, all right, new planet. So they find their way to a safe house, thanks to the Imperial spy. And we all know who that...
What was her name?
Tala, right? Or
Tala. Tala,
Tala,
yeah. Yeah,
which was a very good character. Loved that character.
You should have seen her in Game. She was great.
She was another very well-developed character.
Yep. Yeah, I did. I liked her character a lot. So, keep going.
So, when they get to the safe house, there's writings on the wall. Did you notice the Clone Wars reference, Matt?
I saw the Jedi markings.
Yeah. Did you notice the name that Tala says?
No.
Quinlan Vos.
Mm.
You remember in Clone Wars where Kenobi and Vos go to hunt Zero?
Yes.
And end up fighting Cad Bane. Do you remember when Vos landed on the landing platform?
Right.
When Cody comes up to Kenobi, he was like, sir, you seem troubled. And Kenobi's like, they started talking about Vos. And Cody's like, yeah, that Jedi has quite the reputation. And Kenobi just looks at him dead in the helmet and says, that may be putting it mildly, Cody. Let's just say he's crazy. Now, for him to call him crazy... It takes a lot for Kenobi to tell someone or to call someone crazy.
Yeah.
Because for the amount of shit that Anakin did in the Clone Wars, he did not once say Anakin was crazy.
No.
That I remember.
No, I don't know. But I mean, in the Clone Wars, I mean, we obviously heard Kenobi mentioning to him, like, come to your senses, you know, like,
oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah. But that's not calling him crazy.
No, but
yeah. I like the sheer, like, shock that you hear in Kenobi's voice and see on his face when he hears the name Quinlan Vos.
Yeah.
Like, it just means that he actually meant something to Kenobi.
And that's what I mean. Like, these pieces of Jedi stories that we wish we could all see on screen. Like, I mean, there's so much. I think that's why a lot of people are up in arms about the Kenobi series. Like, the ones that are pissing and moaning about is because they wanted more. You know?
Yeah, they wanted more in a 6-part series where you can't show everything in a 6-episode series. They want the whole Star Wars universe to be explained in a 6-episode series that just isn't going to happen.
Right.
Yeah, I said it. Come at me on Twitter. I'll fight anybody.
Go get him.
But the message reads that only when the eyes are truly closed, you will see what is truly there. Something like that. Or you will see the path. Or I forget what it exactly said, but something along those lines. Kind of hinting that we could see a Qui-Gon Force ghost in the series at some point.
Oh, I was going to riot if that didn't show up.
Oh, I know. I was
too, but this was foreshadowing it.
Like, for how many times he was calling out to him too, like, Master, you know, like, I'm, you know, like, Kenobi was actually like that, like, those moments, like, I kind of felt like that was equivalent to, like, how Luke was trying to call out to Ben at first when back in The Empire Strikes Back, when he was on the ship, he's like, why didn't you tell me, you know, why didn't. And Kenobi wasn't responding to him, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like that moment could be, not identical, but it could definitely be referenced to what's going on there.
It reflects
where Kenobi
scene,
is
yeah.
trying to call out to Qui-Gon, you know?
Yep.
And we do know that because Yoda obviously said, I will teach you at the end of Revenge of the Sith how to communicate with your master, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but my question is, if that was the case and Yoda did have that training with Kenobi, was there a previous contact with Qui-Gon's Force Ghost before this Kenobi series?
I'm going to say no.
Because, I mean, how else would you have trained? How else?
Probably,
you know?
Probably not with Qui-Gon himself, but probably with another Jedi or some other Force user.
Or probably Yoda himself, you know? Maybe yeah. Yoda had the talks or the communication. I don't know. But it's just, that kind of dawned on me, too. Like, you know, going back to that moment in the movie and comparing it to this. You know, like, did Yoda succeed in that training? Did Obi-Wan have a previous contact with Qui-Gon's Force Ghost? And obviously he didn't, because it shows that, well, you know, hey, he was struggling here in these first 3 episodes to contact him.
Mm-hmm.
Not like a fucking cell phone. You pick it up and say, hey, Qui-Gon, you there?
Yeah,
no,
he's on vacation.
Yeah, he's on a good one.
So, as they're in the little safe house, they find the tunnel, and then as soon as they find the tunnel, that's when shit gets real.
The heart drops.
Real quick.
Kenobi's heart is in his throat at this point.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
He senses Vader, and he's there. His ship has landed. He's on the planet.
I'd be shitting my pants, too.
I would be, too.
I will say, I think the Vader we see in this scene, when he enters the town and he just starts pulling people out of their own houses and, you know, snapping their necks and force choking them and everything, I think that Vader was better than the Rogue One hallway Vader.
I don't know. I mean, the Rogue One was pretty good. I mean, that was pretty damn.
I think this one was better.
I mean, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it was better. I think it shows just what a true menace that he is.
I think that
and
does
how like
too.
How Ruth it does, but I think this shows him to be more ruthless.
I don't know, I like the
instead of just
the Rogue
deflecting
One,
blaster bolts.
It's in a,
listen, go
it's
ahead,
in
Jen.
A hallway, like close quarters.
Yeah.
Close quarters fighting.
I
don't
know. I think they both attest to how powerful he actually is, but I just like this one better. I don't know why.
Listen, you go from Vader from the very start. The guy, as soon as the first operation handed to Vader was killing the Jedi and massacring mm-hmm. younglings. Okay, so I mean, mm-hmm. for him to walk out of a ship and come down a dirty path here in the town and start snapping necks and dragging people through the town, I mean, I totally expected. I mean, I could see this because, I mean, this is the same guy that just went and lightsabered the hell out of all these younglings, you know? Like, I mean, there's no weak point and there's no heart left of him. Like, this is it. He's conquered. That's it. He's got dark in him, you know?
Yeah.
The dark side is there.
Yep. So he's doing this, obviously, to lure Kenobi out of hiding
right.
in the town, which he does. So before they fight, I love the little bit of dialogue that they had before they actually fight. I know a lot of people hated that for whatever reason, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
But Kenobi says, you know, what have you become? And Vader's reply is just, I am what you made me.
Yeah, well, that was...
Which, in a sense, he's not wrong.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
Kenobi did make him into what he is in terms of, like, more machine than man, but not in the person.
Listen, he asked for it, man.
He did.
Yeah.
You know? He was being a bitch in that movie.
He was.
When I saw him get hit right out of midair, I'm like, good for you. This is exactly what we wanted. You stay down, and you know what? You feel the burn now, bitch.
Yeah. But no, I think the fight scene was good.
I do, too.
I loved it. Even though Kenobi, like, and I know a lot of people were flaming Kenobi for, you know, for them making him seem weak and everything. But you have to remember, he's just now beginning to reconnect with the Force. The Jedi mostly get their lightsaber dueling abilities from the Force. So if he is just reconnecting to the Force, yeah, he's going to be weak.
He's a little rusty.
Yeah, he's not going to come out swinging, you know, 100% for, you know, first fight.
But great at cleaning his weapon, but not great coming out on the fight.
Yeah, I don't know. I was like, how dare you, Anakin? How dare you? That's what was going through my mind.
I don't even
You know what? Just real quick, you could say what you're gonna say when I'm done. Any more that I hear a clean weapon reference, I'm charging you $50.
I'm not paying it.
Yeah, no. Send it somewhere else.
You can send it to my PayPal.
Oh God. So after the Vader fight, obviously, there's a big point in that fight, though, too. So, like, as Kenobi is getting beat up,
yes.
Obviously, Vader lights a fire.
Yep, and kind of force...
An eye for an eye.
Uses the Force to put Kenobi in the fire and burn him.
But the funny thing was, is that he did not mean for that to kill him. At least from my perspective, at least in that scene, I think it was more so to suffer rather than to kill. Like, if I'm coming after you, I think he was going to keep him alive, but you're going to, you know, you'll feel the wrath of what you did to me now. That's what I'm going to leave you with, you know?
Yep.
So I'm not here to kill you, but I'm here to make you suffer.
Real quick, before we finish out, because that's all I have. I don't know if you guys have anything else for episode 3, but that's all I have.
Yeah.
Just want to shout out the Colorado Avalanche real quick for beating the Tampa Bay Lightning and winning the cup.
Nice. Good. Congratulations to the Colorado Avalanche.
Yep. That's all I got.
All right. So I think that ends our little talks of episodes 1 through 3 of the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. Again, you can catch that on Disney Plus if you did not see it already. Along with going back to our previous topic of Doctor Strange, the Multiverse of Madness, It is on Disney Plus. So get out there and watch it if you didn't see it.
Yep, and if you want to join in the conversation, make sure you catch up on episode 4, 5, and 6 of Kenobi and Stranger Things.
Yes, because we have next episodes coming up where we will be talking Kenobi and, of course, Stranger Things.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one.
Stranger I am too. Things, I think that'll be good.
It's going to be a little long one.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that might require us to do a leak over into another episode, because you got to remember there's 4 seasons there, so a lot goes on in those 4 seasons for sure. But yeah, Jen, if you could just I could already hear the music playing in the background,
the cane
so could
curtains
you just
are coming out.
Yeah, the curtain and the cane is coming out.
Yeah, so everybody, thanks for sticking with us on this ride. We are back, and we're going to be delivering episodes again to you guys. If you want to follow us on our social media pages, or if you want to send us an email, garlicjarmedia@gmail.com. If there's something you want to hear from us, let us know. And otherwise, we're going to keep delivering some great content for you guys.
Indeed. And real quick, just a little thing. Make sure to catch next week's episode as we announce a little giveaway coming up for this month.
Yes,
a
for July giveaway.
Mm-hmm. So thanks for tuning in to episode 75, which we called Hello There. Jen, music's playing, so how about we say goodnight?
All right, everyone have a good night. Thanks for sticking with us, and we'll catch you next week.
Have a good night, guys. With a high, a piccolo, and a cane.